19 to 20, it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Praise the Lord. Father, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the merits of his precious blood, we want to thank you, God, because you are the light of the world. You came to call us to share in the goodness of that light so that we can live as victors in this world of trouble. I pray, Lord God, that you'll use me as your holy vessel and instrument to speak to your people, to bring forth your word, that all of us here will be encouraged today and go out celebrating and rejoicing in your name. In the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our topic, as you've heard, is walking in the manner worthy of our calling. And our theme for the midweek service is called according to the purpose of God. And the question I want to put before you first, are you sure that you are called in this world? Are you called? Yes. Praise the Lord. Those who are called, put up your hands. Those who are called, put up your hands. I'm very serious. Praise the Lord. Those who are called, please stand up. Can you turn around? There are people who are not yet sure that they are called in this world. They are here by accident. Can you have your seats? Praise the Lord. I wanted you to witness with me that even when we have been born in the world and we are living in this world, we are not yet sure why we are in this world and actually why God created us. We are in that confusion. And I pray that God will help us. Calling is something that is very, very instrumental. That we need to know that Jesus Christ called us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. And our topic, they seem to suggest that like the Ephesians, the people who lived in Ephesus church, we may be walking in the manner that is not worthy of God. And therefore, the challenge is to us to style up, to understand why God has called us. What does it mean to be called? The calling is the strong inner desire or impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence of any profession or any vocation which actually one customarily engages into. We want to thank God that some of us, or many of us, we are aware that we are called to live according to the will of God. God has called each one of us because all of us, we are created for the purpose. If you are working, you have been called to work. If you are not working, that is also a calling. It is a time of patience. You may desire to work. You may be married. Marriage is a calling. Or you are still single. Praise the Lord. For this particular time, it is your calling. There are things God is trying actually to work in your life. Instead of getting worried and frustrated, you need to understand that God has called you. Paul, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16b, asserts that everything gets started in God and finds its purpose in him. All believers are called at the service of God for his glory to achieve his purpose. And I want to use a metaphor of utensils, things that we are familiar with. Anyone If you don't have any idea about utensils, especially used in your kitchen, mothers and sisters can help us. Like utensils in the kitchen, we are called to serve because we know that these utensils have only one purpose, and that is to serve food. I want to focus on food. If you have forks, you have spoons, you have plates, altogether, the saucepan, they are called altogether to do what? So like utensils, we are called to serve God. Their individual calling is unique to each of them. The knife is called to cut food into pieces. The spoon may be to stir up things. The forks to pick food, and the plates to serve. So each one of us, like utensils, we are called to the service of God, and we have the sole purpose in our uniqueness. Praise the Lord. If you are a pastor, you are called to pastor people. Though we have a lot of confusion that, you know, pastors are preachers. Let me tell you, we have pastors who are not preachers. We have preachers who are not pastors. And so many other things. Others are called to be doctors. Others are called to be engineers. Others are called to be intercessors. And by the way, others are called to be housewives. Praise the Lord. Do you understand your calling? We are unique, and our uniqueness is to spice up God's calling as we fulfill his purpose in this world. Praise the Lord. So we are all called as the body of Christ. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, you'll understand that the gist of the matter is unity in the body of Christ, that we are called to be united as a force to achieve the will of God. So what are you doing as a person, as an individual, to achieve the purpose of God? So the people in Ephesus, they were not actually doing that. And so Paul is challenging them, as he's challenging us, that even when Christ has called us, we are not yet together as a force. We are not yet together as a family to achieve that sole goal and purpose. We've had a team going out for ministry. They are called to do that. Praise the Lord. And us who have commissioned them, we should not just commission them and let them go. We should also participate through prayer or supporting them. Praise the Lord. So we need to come together as the body of Christ and do the will of God. So Paul, who was a servant of God and also in chains, because verse 1 introduces that Paul, a prisoner of Christ, even in prison, he did not give up on the will of God. Praise the Lord. He understood his calling, that strong desire and that strong conviction, and he was able to stand out to the will of God. Believers, we need to understand that we are all called and identify our calling. Don't live in confusion. A few people that do not stand, it is a clear indication that they are actually still confused about their identity. You see, what perfects the calling is your identity, to know who you are. Altogether, who you are will determine what you'll be able to do. Like my sister, my good friend, Honorable Miriam Atembe, we are very close and in ministry, and I like her passion for ministry. All of us who have witnessed her calling, her heart for the suffering, to speak for the voiceless, regardless of whether they do what or what, she will stood actually her ground and speak. Altogether, she's not intimidated, standing for the truth. And here, it's where the church has gone wrong. The calling of the church is to stand, to speak for the voiceless, to stand and take a position and reach out to the people of God. The calling of the church, the original meaning of the church, is not the congregation we have here. If I am to go back to the biblical principles of the church, we should not hold services here. The church is supposed to go to the community where people are, not waiting for the people to come. Praise the Lord. So our calling is to go out where people are found altogether. Those who are on streets, in their kids there, people suffering in slums, that's our calling as a church. Praise the Lord. So we are called to be used of God, and we need to understand this better. So I want to challenge us. The church is not the priests, by the way. Did you know that? We are not the church. We are all. The church is the body of Christ. Every day we come here and stand and confess or confirm or affirm. I don't like this statement when priests or leaders say, let's stand up and recite. We don't recite the creed. We don't recite the creed. We affirm what we believe in, who we are, and what is our identity. So every time we stand, and we have challenges with this altar, when you are standing, especially there, when we stand, the presence of God is this. The altar signifies the point of God in. So we face the holy table. So I always see people facing the other side, and then they tell us, if you are seated there, turn to the wall. Our central point is this. Altogether, that's why this table should be guarded jealously. Altogether, this is the representation of God. So our calling as a church is to go out and reach to those who are in need. Touch them. I like the ministry here of young people. Touch a heart. Praise the Lord. To go and touch a heart, that heart that is in pain. We are here as a church. Let me tell you, if you try to find out someone, actually, about someone seated next to you, you'll discover that these people are hurting. You see them smiling. Let me tell you, things are never easy. Our calling is to be brothers and sisters keeper. But do we mind about that? We just come to church after church. If you know me, you'll say hello to me. I already see out there, even some people, they don't want you to touch their hands. Praise the Lord. Yes. So we are called to be a keeper for one another, to love one another and walk together in the manner of that calling. The calling of Christ is to love one another. So the church should exhibit this love as we care for one another. Don't wait for people to cry out, maybe someone has died, maybe someone is sick, that then you begin to do what? Even in those moments, we have not cared enough. We have many people here suffering, but we have not reached them out. The challenge to us, what Paul was putting to these people in Ephesians, is that we are supposed to come out and reach out the people of God. So I want to challenge you that you begin to identify people around you. Begin with your family, begin with your office where you work, and the community. Are there people in need waiting upon you to reach them out? This calling of walking in the manner of God is not easy. It needs the complete humility that comes from God. We need the grace because this ministry is challenging. Those you are trying to help are the ones that will affect you. Praise the Lord. But we need to be humble. Even when the whole world has turned against us, the Lord will fight for us. The Lord will be on our side because He is the one that has called us in this ministry. We need to be patient with one another. I want to tell you, even when the situation is not pleasing, you need to be patient. That's what Paul is putting across. We need also to bear with one another in love. Even those who seem to be difficult to love. Praise the Lord. Challenges will come our way. But I want to tell you, God will fight for us. So we need to keep that unity in the spirit and the bond of peace. Rick Warren, in his book, the famous book, Purpose Driven Life, is saying, we are made for God. No, we are made by God and for God. Until you understand that you are made by God and for God, altogether, your life will never make any sense. You live a selfish life. You are always greed. It is me, it is me, it is me. Let me tell you, it is high time for us to wake up and to be used of God. We are called to share what God has given us with those who are in need. We have a cathedral project that is on. This is our cathedral, altogether. And let me tell you, when we trust God, this cathedral will be finished, it will be completed, and the glory will be returned to God. So we are called in this particular area to give. And it does not matter how much you give, but the willingness is what God wants. Even if it is 1 shilling, even if it is 1 million, let me tell you, that willingness is what God is challenging us. Many of us, we have food, but in our neighborhood, there are people without food. Many of us, we have clothes we no longer put on, praise the Lord, but we are still hanging on them. We cannot release them. We have things that have been really wasted, but there are people out there who need them. So we are called to share with one another. We are called to go an extra mile so that the will of God will be complete in us. Our calling is to walk in unity with Christ and in our lives. And if there is no Christ in your life, you've not discovered your calling. If Christ is not in your life, then you have not actually discovered your calling, because we are created and called by God and for Himself alone. And therefore, if we know that Christ has called us, then we need to submit His will and allow Him to use us for His glory. If the church cannot discover that it is Christ that has called the church, then we are lost. Praise the Lord. And when we affirm that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we are affirming that we are believing in the church instituted by Christ, established by Him and for Him to do His will. So our calling is to reach out and fulfill the Great Commission. I have discovered that many of us, even when it is time for that statement, you know, the Catholic Church, we deny. We are not Catholics. Praise the Lord. Those who are Catholics, put up your hands. Those who are Catholics, Vika, you begin to see that. No. Now you see. You see the argument, Anglo-Catholics. If you believe you're a Catholic, put up your hand. So, as a teacher of the word, the only information you are giving me, and as a student of psychology, is that you are not yet grounded actually to understand what you believe in. As simple as that. Altogether, the Holy Catholic Church means a universal church instituted by Christ, headed by Christ. Christ is the Lord of that church. Even when you are in California, it is the same church. Altogether, we don't believe in the Roman Catholic Church, headed by Pope. Altogether. So the confusion here is that, no, we are not Catholics. We are all Catholics. Praise the Lord. The other people want only to confuse us that we are the only, and they don't normally put Roman. They say we are Catholics. But because we are ignorant of who we are and our calling, we tend also to believe. We are not Anglo-Catholics, my brother. We are Catholics altogether. a body of Christ standing together to do his will. Are we together? So we are all called to come together to fulfill the Great Commission or the will of Christ in this world. So our unity and oneness is rooted in the sovereignty of God, who is the only creator of the entire universe and all things, and thus has the absolute of authority over all creation. We are coming to do the will of God that has authority, absolute authority, by the way, altogether, over each and everything. So when you discover that God has authority over this world, the only thing you need now to instill in you is never to fear anything, so long as God is on your side. Because the Bible confirms that he will refute every tongue that raises against us, that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. When we identify this, then we'll be able to stand strong and firm as believers to do the will of God. The devil will not intimidate us. The devil will not come here to bring confusion, because we are connected to the source of power and authority. So our calling is to do the will of God by submitting in him and getting connected to his will. Why we are having a lot of challenges in church is that many of us, we have refused and rejected to submit to the will of God. And we are not even connected to God. I'm not ashamed even to confess that even some of us priests, we are just doing a service. We are not connected to the will of God, and we do not listen to what God is speaking and to fulfill our calling as pastors. And when the devil comes, he scatters the sheep because there is no shepherd. Our calling is to be the shepherd of God's sheep, to be there for them and defend them day and night, no matter the situation. The calling is costly, but we need to be encouraged that the one who called us is able, because my Redeemer lives. Oh my God, I'm unstoppable. Nothing can stand my way. One of the victories that God gave me is to take out of my life fear. Let me tell you, your greatest enemy is fear. When fear possesses you, you lose who you are. Even what is yours, you don't actually believe that it is yours. You are just there in confusion, and then the devil takes it away. Many of us, we have missed our blessings because we are not connected. We are not sure whether this is the opportune time God has caused for me. And then we have lived in regrets. May we find our identity in Christ and walk according to his will and share in his blessings. As I conclude, I want to call upon each one of us, reflecting in this text that was read for us, Ephesians chapter 4, highlighting a few things here. And I want majorly to dwell on verse 4 up to 6. It says, there is one body, one spirit, just as we are called to one hope when we are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Praise the Lord. God is in all of us. God is not actually, you know, in this building, confined in this building. No. The presence of God is everywhere. The reason you come here is to be taught, inspired, empowered, altogether, to go out revived, energized, to do greater things. Altogether. The presence of God is not in priests We have our authority as priests, by the way. Praise the Lord. To lead you and guide you. But it is not only me always praying for you and praying for you. My calling is to empower you to stand on your feet to do the will of God. That you can pray for yourself and pray for other people. Altogether, we cannot go to pray for each and every person. Even if we called you in front here, we will not pray for you. You know, when you call people and then you have nothing to do with them, sometimes you begin to touch them. But are you ministering to those pains in their hearts? Yes, this is a reality. You see, the ministry touches the heart. The person or a human being is made out of three parts. There is a body, soul, and spirit. And most of our challenges are in the soul. Altogether, the soul contains the emotions, the mind, and the heart. Altogether. And many of us, that pain is in there. It's not just, you know, rubbing on you. You need that thorough touch to empower you and to challenge you to live according to the will of God. So discovering that we are one body and one spirit, called in one hope to do the will of God, who is one, in one face and one baptism, we should strive to be one. There is no Westerner, there is no Northerner, there is no, I don't know, Southerner, whether it is there, praise the Lord. But when you discover how we are living all together, you will actually say, God, have mercy. People are trying to really be addressed by, you know, where you come from. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this afternoon we had a midweek service at Parliament. The vicar said, my one leg is at Parliament. I'm fully there, not one leg. What I do with all my heart. Altogether. When I'm at All Saints, I'm at All Saints. When I'm there, I'm there. So we're waiting for the lift. We had General Ali, and then numbers, they came in the lift. And as we entered, and you know, she made a funny joke. She said, oh, my boyfriend, where have you been? You know, you know, because, you know, now these people are confined in the lift. Altogether. And I think the prayer was, you know, this lift should reach as fast as possible. We all, you know, take our ways altogether. You know, we are not united. We are just fighting one another. The husbands are fighting wives. Wives are fighting husbands. Are we united as a family? Are we united to fulfill the calling of God? Husbands, are we united with our wives? Those who are married, is your family united? Children, parents, are we united? Because we are called to be in unity, to fulfill the glory of God. Are we united as a church, by the way? Are we united? Are we having one agenda? I made a mistake one Sunday here. The provost asked me to talk about mission. And I asked, you know, the mission of the church. And, you know, people started whispering, and I was shocked. That even when we're in the church, few of us, we know the mission of the church. Are we together? If you don't know the mission of this church, you are like, you know, a ship on an ocean without a captain. No direction. If the wind comes, are we together? Yes. And we have had a challenge with people coming to book marriages here. You know, I used to be here, but now I'm in. You know. Altogether, they are nowhere. They cannot. And then when they are pressed, you see, I was baptized. You see. Are we sure of our calling? We should stop being confused and submit to the will of God. And so Jesus Christ, the anchor of our salvation, the Alpha and the beginning, sorry, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of our lives, is calling us to come and share in his light, to leave darkness. The reason we love darkness, we are fearing for our sins not to be exposed. Let me tell you, he's calling us as we are. He's calling you is calling me to actually stand out to do his will, and his name will be glorified forever. I want us to take a time in prayer and reflect on the will of God and our calling. And I want you to be sincere with God. If you don't know your calling in this world, your assignment from today is to seek God's face to help you to find your calling. If you have taken your calling for granted, as a father, as a mother, as an officer, and even as priests, we ask God to help us, that we stand out for the truth and do his will. And that's when we'll be able to live in unity. I want you to pray for yourself. Reflect on this calling, and especially unity. Are we united in our families? Are we united at work? Or we are only fighting each other? Are we having one spirit, one goal to achieve? Are we aligned to the will of God? And if there are areas of darkness in your life, commit them to God. He is faithful and is mighty. Many times we are challenged a few hours ago, my spirit was challenged and I felt God know. But thank you, God, that you always have mercy upon those who call upon you. You have called us, you are faithful and you are able. And Lord, you are mighty. We choose to trust in you, O God. We choose to surrender in you, my Father. Because it's only in you that we live, move, and have our being. For us to be complete, oh God, it's only in you. Many times, oh God, we have lived lives that are not worthy of your name. We are empty, my Father, we need your filling. We need you, O God, to refill us with your Holy Spirit. And as we continue to meditate and pray, I want to request the choir to lead us in this chorus in a very soft voice. I will trust in you alone. Trust in God for your calling, no matter the situation, that you will stand for the truth to be used of God. Even when the whole world comes against you, the Lord will save you. The Lord will fight for you. Yes, he only needs you to understand his calling in your life, that you are created for a purpose, for his will and his glory. The Bible tells us that those who trust in the Lord will not be shaken. They will be like Mount Zion that will stand out forever. The Bible reminds us that cursed is he who trusts in man. Many times, oh God, we have put our eyes on man. We have put our eyes on things of the world. We have not trusted in you. It's the reason, oh God, we have limited our potentials, oh God, to go extra mile in fulfilling your calling in us. Have mercy upon us, oh God. Have mercy upon us, oh my Father. Lord, you know each one of us. You know your servants, your children gathered here. Lord, you know where they need you. You know where they need you, my Father. I want to pray, Lord God, that you'll meet each one of us at a point of need, that you'll wipe away our tears, oh God, that you'll stir us up, my Father, to lift our face in you, oh God, to know the one who has called us, to know the one who has redeemed us, to know the one who has authority over life and the one who has authority over death. Yes, Lord, have mercy upon us, oh God. Wipe away our tears, my Lord. Father God, we want to pray that you overtake every situation and challenge that is around us and in us, oh God. Even when we are walking, oh Lord God, in this world, we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about our future. Yes, Lord God, people without calling do not know their future. They have a veil on their faces, and therefore their potentials are limited. They are only looking of today and today and today. May you open our eyes, my Father, that we'll not only look at today, but we'll focus on our future. That even when things are not okay today, tomorrow things will be okay today. Sorry, tomorrow. Even when things are not okay in my family, trusting you, oh God, and leaning on you, my Father, so every situation will bow before you and things will be okay. Because it's only in your name, oh God, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. May you be honored and glorified, my Father. May you wipe away our tears, oh God, in our individual lives, my Father. We bless you, Jesus, because there is none like you. If you are here and you have been tormented, you have lost on your future, your destiny, I want to invite you to stand up on your feet. You are in a state of confusion. You don't know your next step. You are just there. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet.